This is Jerry Bain, podcasting from the Coalition for Networked Information Fall 2010 meeting. I'm joined today by Martha Anderson, Director of Program Management for the National Digital Information Infrastructure and Preservation Program at the Library of Congress, and Laura Campbell, Associate Librarian for the Office of Strategic Initiatives and Chief Information Officer, also at the Library of Congress. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
You guys are presenting a session here entitled National Digital Preservation Program Initiatives for 2011, updating us on some of the programs and strategies you guys are employing for the new year. Can you talk about the current state of digital preservation, and have you seen some success in long-term curation of digital content?
Well, Jerry, this marks our 10th year of managing a national digital preservation program mandated by Congress in the year 2000. The program called for developing a strategy to collect and preserve at-risk born digital material and to mount a program to model and test the best methods of capturing and preserving for the long-term digital content. So to answer your question about the current state of digital preservation, I think we're very proud and pleased that we have been able to harness a network of over 170 partners from around the world who have joined us in the responsibility, sharing the responsibility as well as the costs, and the talent and labor to preserve all formats that, as you know, are changing rapidly and of great technical challenge as well as human challenge. Martha?
I think some of the successes we have noticed are it's more in the mainstream consciousness. Last year, The Economist produced a long feature within their publication called The Data Deluge, and in it pointed out a lot of the aspects of the work that we are doing, and not specifically naming the program, but talking about the kind of work worldwide that people are doing to take care of digital information. I also think that long-term curation is gaining some momentum. At the library, we have kept alive a resource for over 20 years, a digital resource, American Memory. And so that's one that is still being served, still being used. Other universities and archives in our network also have data that is fairly long-lived. They've been able to keep it alive. Our challenge is dealing with the new forms of data as they come online.
Can you tell me about some of the unique collections that you guys have identified for preservation?
I can specifically describe one of these proposals in as much as it is truly unique. The principal investigator for this work is David Kirsch, who's an economic historian, and the collection that was at risk that he proposed saving and has saved is a history of business plans during the dot-com boom and then bust. And this was not only unique material, but also very challenging precedent setting in as much as that he was able to get permission from a judge in San Francisco, where this material had come from, a law firm that is now defunct as a result of the bust, not the boom, and to preserve that material. It's very valuable material for researchers and a very unique collection.
Another one of our projects recently was one of the five finalists for the Digital Preservation Coalition Digital Preservation Award for 2010, and it was a project called Preserving Virtual Worlds, in which a group of partners examined methods for preserving video games, interactive kind of information environments. The work is continuing, but it has been quite fascinating.
What are some of the best practices you guys have encountered in searching for the best way to support long-term access to digital content? And what happens in the very long term, planning-wise, with platform migration?
One of the key principles of this program has been to develop partnerships. And so cooperative archiving is becoming a very common practice in which Organizations share different roles in the whole spectrum. Some organizations have more expertise, perhaps with metadata. Others have more expertise with storage systems. Some have expertise with formats. So they collectively get together and pool their knowledge and then share. Sometimes physically, they share collections. In other words, collections are stored on prospective different servers. So one of the principles is cooperative. The second is redundancy, that there needs to be more than one copy. No longer is it fine to have your copy in a backup in the and a backup in the basement. Universities, libraries, and state libraries and archives are understanding the value of these redundant copies. So they're looking at ways to do that efficiently and cost-effective measures for that. The very long-term planning, we every year sponsor an annual event with discussions with the hardware and software vendors who do the storage platforms. And so our community gets together with that community, and it's not the salesmen, it's the actual research and development teams from the various hardware and software companies. And they come together and tell us what they're thinking of in terms of changing or improving their systems. And then we tell them, well, you know, we have these kinds of requirements. These are the kinds of things. And we have these very productive conversations now that help everyone understand how things are shifting.
Jerry, as a normal course of business now in an increasingly digital environment, we on a regular basis migrate our digital content to new software and new hardware. And we've learned as we do that, obviously, we're very worried about losing data and verifying the authenticity of the data. So just with the vast and rapid change in technology, we have developed regular routine migration.
Many institutions find collaboration is one of the most difficult nuts to crack.
Right.
I've spoken with several CIOs that are like, we want to collaborate, we just don't know how, because we have some commonalities, but we both have different goals, different ways of doing things. So do you guys have any insight into that?
Well, you know, it's a very happy story, I'm pleased to report. When we started this effort, thanks to the U.S. Congress and their foresight in allowing us to try to build a national digital collection, we weren't quite sure how that was all going to work. We thought it needed to be a very open and participatory process where we learned by doing, where we tried to be catalytic but not dictatorial in what to do. We tried to listen very hard. And I think early on we recognized that, yes, the technology is challenging, but the most challenging aspect of this work is changing behaviors. And I think that one of the common threads for all of us that came to the NDEP network to preserve at-risk content was that we recognized we couldn't do it alone, that we needed each other. And so for every dollar we spend, we think we really leverage it because of the collaborative nature of the program.
In these collaborations, it's not purely altruistic. People have a problem they need to solve locally, and I think that's where the key comes for their participation. And the problem is too big to solve within a single institution. Even large institutions need extra help.
Well, in this difficult economic climate, how do you see sustained funding for digital preservation at the national level occurring?
I think we're very realistic about the economic environment, as our partners are as well. And many of our partners come from environments where there's no line item in the budget for digital preservation. And so they've made that happen by redirecting resources or being very clever. And I think that in the future, that how we're going to sustain a national program is by expanding and strengthening the network that we have, leveraging every dollar that currently exists. And we're fortunate to have albeit not a huge budget, but a small budget to make a lot of good things happen.
Also, we're seeking efficiencies across the whole network, too. We're trying to leverage earlier work. We're trying to encourage people to use what others have done rather than reinventing it. And so there'll be some of that thrift over time that will sustain us through the hard times.
Do you hear much feedback from Congress or the general public on the impact of the availability of this information? And do you have some sense of how the digital resources are being used?
The impact is in having access to the content. Just preserving content isn't enough. And we all know today that preservation requires access because you need to check on the data at a very minimum. So the more access that we have, the greater the impact. And of course, then we bump into intellectual property rights and other considerations. And there's maturity going on in lots of different facets of this work, not the least of which is copyright. So the more the content is in demand, and the more valuable the content is for educational purposes, the greater the hope is that we will tackle some of the barriers to access in the future.
I think we've seen Congress become digital communicators. We actually archive congressional websites, and there's been a growing interest on the part of senators and congressmen. Those who are leaving office a lot of times want to be sure that we have a record of their work, and they have contacted us and said, are you archiving Senator so-and-so's website? So there's that sort of interest. The archivist of the Senate and of the House both are highly interested in any digital content that we can collect around the Congress. But we've seen interest in abroad, things you might not think of. A broad interest in digital content from social scientists or even computer scientists who want a large body of data. So they come to us and say, what do you have that's big? We want to test some of our theories on. So we've seen that kind of use of our data.
Because we're Congress's library, we have made a real effort to focus on public policy material. So we identify and collect material that we believe will be useful to Congress in their day-to-day workings. Because so much of what's available electronically disappears, we want to have an archive of things that can be referred to for comparative analysis.
Is there anything else we haven't covered that you guys would like to talk about?
I would like to issue an invitation. This year we have a new initiative called the National Digital Stewardship Alliance. And so I would like to invite anyone who's listening to your podcast who has an organization interested in digital preservation to join this community of partners that has been forming over the last 10 years. And they can find out information about it at digitalpreservation.gov.
Great. I'll put that link in the notes of the show as well.
Yeah.
Well, Martha and Laura, I want to thank you guys so much for joining me today.
Well, thanks for being interested. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Jerry. Thank you.